In our present conference, he is the first of several on the last part of our retreat, namely, how to put the mystery of the real presence into practice. For the last 7 days, we have looked at two main aspects of the real presence as a mystery of faith. Namely, what do we believe when we believe in the real presence? And then, at greater length, why did Christ institute the Holy Eucharist as his bodily presence on earth? Our final reflections are on how are we to put this mystery of our faith into practice. If there is one thing, hopefully, will be clear from this retreat, we are to live what we believe. Through all the meditations, we have been answering this third question implicitly. In other words, on how we are to practice our faith in the real presence of Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. However, our reflections have been mainly concerned with our own spiritual life, even where it does affect other people. For example, are putting into practice our imitation of Christ's patient charity in the Holy Eucharist. It surely involves other people, but that is not the focus that we wish to concentrate on in our closing reflections of the retreat. Our purpose here, this and the following meditations, will be to ask ourselves how we can become apostles of the real presence in the modern world. Call it the apostolic dimension of our faith. With this in view, we will look at the following issues and, just for the record, cover only the first in this meditation. The need for Catholics to understand the Church's teaching on the Holy Eucharist. Second, the need for understanding how the one sacrament of the Eucharist has three levels or forms, as sacrifice sacrament, as communion sacrament, and as presence sacrament. Thirdly, the need for understanding how the real presence is fundamental for the sacrifice of the Mass and Holy Communion. No real presence, no real Mass, no real communion. Fourth, the need for a program of training Catholics on these three levels of understanding the Holy Eucharist. Fifth, the need for motivating priests, religious and the laity, to promote Eucharistic adoration. And finally, the need for coordinating on a parochial and diocesan level the practice of Eucharistic adoration. Our concern, therefore, in this meditation will be to look at the need for Catholics to understand the Church's teaching on the Holy Eucharist. Throughout the retreats, we have stressed the role of the mind in Catholic Christianity. There is no doubt that our final goal in life is to reach eternal life. Our purpose in living a temporary, I prefer that to temporal, to living our temporary life here on earth, is to live an eternal life with God in heaven. We shall reach heaven if on earth we have done the will of God. How do we do the will of God? We do the will of God with our own wills. That's why we've got a will. Because nobody told you. We have a will to do the will of God. Period. Close not just the book, but all the libraries of the world. Meaning, by submitting our wills to the divine will. And then the familiar quadrat of every spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius. We do the will of God with our own wills, submitting to the divine will, and enjoying what he wants us to enjoy. Know the stress, what he wants us to enjoy. In suffering, what he wants us to suffer. Say that again. In suffering, what he wants us to suffer. You mean God wants us to suffer? Oh, you kindergartner. Of course. Of course. Where have you been all these years? Of course. But notice, in suffering what he wants us to suffer. Thirdly, in removing from our lives what he wants us to remove. God wants us to sweep out of our lives certain things, especially those that we like. Yes, my dear. And the most important, pardon the Anglo-Saxon, the most important cleanup we have to do is removing from our minds things that God does not want us to have there. But how I like these thoughts. Get rid of them. I like them. I said, get rid of them. All right, all right. And fourth, we do the will of God with our own wills, submitting them to the divine will in sacrificing what he wants us to surrender or sacrifice, even though no sin is involved. However, the will is a blind faculty. Now that needs saying. The human will is a blind faculty. It cannot choose, except with a mind, enlightened by faith, tells the will, is desirable and therefore choosable. You might say the will is sitting around waiting for the mind to tell it what to do. But the mind must know from reason, but especially from faith building on reason, what to inform the will should be chosen. An unenlightened mind is an inactive will. Here we are speaking of the Holy Eucharist, and even more specifically, of the real presence. In order for Catholics to spend even 5 minutes in adoration before the Blessed Sacrament, their minds must be enlightened on the meaning and value of the Holy Eucharist. Otherwise, the will, I don't say, will not move the body to kneel down before the Blessed Sacrament. The will will not even move the body to, well, walk into a Catholic church or chapel. Why bother? I've got enough to do. The minds then must be convinced that Christ, the Son of God, became man, and that incarnate Son of God is, have underlined in my notes, is, really is, here on our planet. The same identical Jesus who was conceived of the Virgin Mary, born at Bethlehem, died on the cross, rose from the dead, and is now, as we recite in the Apostles' Creed, at the right hand of his Heavenly Father. Now this needs saying. It is one thing to profess to be a Catholic, even to be a Catholic. It is something else to believe. And mind you, we believe with the mind. To believe in the Holy Eucharist. Faith is not in certain syllables being pronounced. Faith is in the intellect, assenting to what God has revealed. And as we've said, not because our minds can explain why or how something is true, but because God, having revealed, and He is God, all-knowing and all-truthful, if we are so constantly prone to believe, you name but whom, should we not believe God? But my mind must know what God has revealed. And not only know, I repeat, it is one thing to be even, well, otherwise, practicing Catholic, and something quite more, much more, to realize what the Holy Eucharist means. Over the years, I've taught too many priests, have examined too many of them, not to know how much Or I have to say, how little some know. Our Catholic faith certainly involves our feelings and emotions. However, in living in our emotion-fed society, it's no wonder we have almost come to associate, if not identify, devotion with emotion. Not only do they rhyme, the two words, but for some people, they are synonyms. But that, what a charitable statement, is erroneous. The essence of devotion is the enlightened conviction of a believing mind that something which the Church teaches is revealed truth and is capable of being understood without, of course, being comprehended, which means fully understood. That's why heaven must be eternal. It will take that long, I don't say to comprehend, but to keep growing for all eternity. In our grasp and penetration with our finite minds into the infinity of the mystery of God. Just yesterday, I read in a prominent Catholic magazine the statement that, and I quote, "An optional spirituality in the Church among Catholics is devotion to the Sacred Heart," unquote. For me as a Jesuit, it took me years to control my temper. Years. Those are fighting words. That, my dear friends, is theological idiocy. Optional devotion. I've got an exclamation mark in my notes. That means raise your voice. Pope Pius XII could not have been more emphatic in telling the Catholic faithful that the Sacred Heart belongs to the essence of Christianity. Why? Because the Sacred Heart is the incarnate love of God. Would anyone, pardon me, any enlightened Catholic in his right mind say that the Incarnation is an optional spirituality? So too, the Holy Eucharist. At the turn of the present century, St. Pius X organized what has since come to be known as the Confraternity of Christian Doctrine. The Pope, almost a century ago, he saw the growing chaos in so many parts of the Catholic world worked by erroneous ideas among the faithful. Said Pius X, most of the evils which beset the Church and most of the problems with which the Catholic Church is plagued are not due to bad will. That needs memorizing. Let me repeat. Most of the evils which beset the Church and most of the problems with which the Catholic Church is plagued are not due to bad will. No, said the Holy Father, since canonized, they are mainly due to ignorance of Christ's revealed truth. This has been our preoccupation during this retreat. Needless to say, we've only begun to begin what we need to do for the rest of our lives. Grow in our understanding of what we believe. What then are we saying in this conference? You're applying all of these basic premises of the Church's teaching to the need for Catholics to understand the Holy Eucharist. Sometimes when I talk this way, depending on the audience, people, I can read it in their faces. Poor Father, he doesn't know that he's not teaching in a seminary. There's not a class of theologians during their doctoral studies in dogma. This need is for all Catholics. We are the most academically sophisticated nation, not just in the world, but in history. Over 5 million Americans on college campuses every year, learning everything, and I mean everything, under the sun, and by now, beyond the sun. The inner workings of not just the molecules, or the atoms, but the protons and neutrons inside the atom. That same mind, trained to the hilt, bogged down with the weight of human knowledge, can be positively empty, a vacuum, when it comes to understand what God became man to reveal. There's only one word that I can use. It is intellectual horror. Remember the Last Supper our Lord made, the astounding statement which every believer should memorize. Our Lord is speaking to his Heavenly Father. This is eternal life, that they may know you, and Jesus Christ, whom you ever sent. The heart of that statement is the word no. That's why God gave us a mind. Or we can learn, and we should learn many things. But honestly, all secondary to the primary object of our minds, the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, whom the Father sent into the world here it, to stay in the world until the end of the world, and that's the Eucharist. This need for Catholics understanding the Holy Eucharist, this need is grave. This need is urgent. This need is widespread. And this need is crucial. As the understanding of our faith in the Holy Eucharist goes, so goes the Catholic Church. And as the Catholic Church goes, so goes the rest of the world. Because we believe the Catholic Church is the mother and teacher of nations. Why, we ask ourselves, why is this need so desperately needed? Why? Because otherwise, the reason for Christ's institution of the Holy Eucharist will be either only minimally realized, or not realized at all, or the very mind that maybe the mind of a baptized person and ever a baptism the child had infused into it the virtue of faith. That same mind, as so tragically is happening in so many places, turns against the very church, the very faith with which, as an infant, that person was endowed. And the worst enemies of the church, as the popes themselves will tell you, the worst enemies of the church are apostate Catholics. And the main reason for apostasy is not bad will, sheer, dense, vacuous ignorance. Just before his ascension, Jesus told the apostles two things to make disciples of all nations and to teach them all that I have commanded you. Note the two words, disciples and teach. Is the final mandate of the Savior to the apostles, and through them to all of us. What does this mandate include? He told the apostles to make disciples of all nations. So what's a disciple? A discipulus. A disciple is one who has learned. whose mind has been instructed, whose intellect has been enlightened. Then Jesus told the apostles, "Teach all nations all that I have told you." Among the truths that Christ taught the apostles, none is more fundamental than the fact that God became man, died for the salvation of the world, and that this God become man is in the world. Let me tell you, this retreat is a result of 40 years of experience. Seeing, you ought to weep over the emptiness of so many Catholic minds in just not seeing. Not seeing what? Not seeing what Christ has revealed. And for our purpose, is there anything more important than to know of the Christ who redeemed the world is in the world which he redeemed? The implications are obvious. We Catholics have a divinely given duty to understand what we believe, since we believe in the Blessed Sacrament. We have an obligation to grow, of course, in all the virtues. And as the truism goes, a virtue that does not grow is a virtue that will be lost. Well, the most basic virtue of Christianity is faith. We believe with our intellects, assenting to God's revelation on His divine, infallible Word. If we don't grow in the faith, we will not grow in any other virtue. And we'll grow in the other virtues only in the measure that we grow in our faith. So what does it mean to grow in the faith? To go by 1 inch or by 10 pounds? Don't be silly. We're dealing with the Spirit. Growth in the faith means growth in understanding, in the intelligibility of our faith, in the meaningfulness of our faith. Closing observation. In the Tantum Ergo, we sing, "Praest et fides, supplementum sensuum defectui," which means, let faith supply for the failure of the senses. Or, when we sing the Tantum Ergo, we are asking that our believing mind may be deepened in its grasp of what our senses do not convey. That behind what our eyes can see, the physical properties of bread and wine, is the living God who became man, died for our sins, and is in heaven preparing a place for us, provided we believe. Believe that he's on earth to provide us and how much we need to love him by doing his will as a condition for a blessed eternity. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.